Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is, are you a busyholic? And I'll be taking calls, having what you want in any area of your life. Numbers to call are 866-254-1579. It's toll free, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the program on 001-760-918-4300. I always like to sort of set the table at the top of the show, and this idea of busyholism, I actually first came across in a book called The Energy of Money by Maria Nemeth. And it was a kind of an interesting idea, the idea that being busy was in some ways an affliction, because I used to think it was a sign of success and importance, and look how busy I am. And that lasted for a little while until I realized that that could quickly be followed up by, look how miserable I am. And I actually remember having a conversation with a client of mine who worked at Google, and he was saying that he really found it hard to find time to spend with his family. And he said the other day his wife had said to him, are you finally done? And he said he sat there and he thought, boy, I remember when that was a meaningful question. I think that's sort of a sign of the time. So in the second half of the show, at the top of the second half of the show, I'm actually going to give you a little inventory, like a Cosmo quiz that you can use to kind of check out your current level of busyness. But I thought before we go to the phones, what I'd actually start with is a story. This is a story I tell in my book, You Can Have What You Want. When Emperor Saga of Japan traveled, his every day was planned down to the minute. One day he was scheduled to meet with a delegation of monks and tour a local Buddhist temple for exactly 10 minutes. The emperor and his entourage entered the temple precisely on time, but the building was empty, and the monks were nowhere to be found. The aide responsible for setting the emperor's schedule alternated between desperately searching for the missing delegation and making panicked excuses for their absence, but the emperor simply stood in the center of the room and said nothing. Exactly 10 minutes later, the emperor indicated that it was now time to leave. On their way out of the temple, Emperor Saga turned to his aide and said, I enjoyed that appointment very much. Please schedule me another one tomorrow. Now, it's funny, but one of the key things that really helped me get past the busy disease, or what's sometimes called busyness is laziness, because it means you haven't put enough thought into your schedule, was learning that busy is much more a state of mind than it is about activity. You can be quite calm and peaceful in the midst of a lot of activity, or you can feel incredibly busy when there's almost nothing going on in your life. And when you begin to get that it's the busyness of your mind that's creating the busyness in your life and not the other way around, then the solution becomes obvious. When you can slow down your mind, or actually really just create space in which your mind will slow down, because your mind naturally has a low idle, it gets much easier. So a very simple exercise I sometimes do with clients is get them to count to 10. And not literally just counting, but actually count breaths. And the question that I always ask them is, how many breaths can you count before you start freaking out? So here's how you do it, is with your eyes open or closed, just begin counting your breath. And let each complete breath, so breathing in and breathing out, count as one. And if you're at all stressed when you're doing this, you're going to lose count before you get to 10, or you're going to give up because it's pointless and you've got a lot to do and people are staring and this is just stupid, and you could get to 10 if you really wanted to, and you get the idea. Now, the sooner you lose count, the more busy your mind currently is, and the less effective you're actually likely to be. So if you want to feel calmer, you want to feel more centered, and you want to become more effective in a matter of moments, just start over at one and carry on until you can get to 10. And each time you lose count, just begin again. Now, as a point of interest, longest anyone's ever reported to me it took them to get to 10 breaths was an hour and 34 minutes. That's the Guinness, unofficial Guinness record. But lest this put you off, no, most people can get to 10 and feel calmer and more at peace and less busy in just a couple of minutes. So with that in mind, let's get started on the show, and let's go to Donna in Berlin. Donna, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today? And guys, you're going to have to bring on Donna. For some reason, she's not coming on here.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello there. Hey, 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 hi. I can hear you now.
Hi, Michael. I am a big fan, and I love listening to your show in any way. But I'm an artist, and I'm currently having trouble getting my life, getting my own schedule going, time management. Like, I have my own studio, I have my apartment, I'm in love, I have everything I need, but I can't seem to wake up in the morning, and I have these nervous fits whenever I'm about to do something. I don't know if there's an exercise that you could help me with.
Well, I'm curious because first off, I love the checklist. I mean, I've got time, I've got space, I'm in love. Okay, I'm ready to paint. but in terms of if you get nervous every time you're about to do something, that doesn't sound like a time management issue. So
yeah.
What's going on? What if you could like turn up the volume on what's going on inside your head so that we could all hear it? What would we hear or see going on in there when you're feeling nerves?
I don't really know. I guess maybe, you know, I'm American. I'm living in Germany, and I have issues with communicating with people. I think that might be one of the things. But, you know, going to my studio, I don't have to talk to anyone. I'm alone. You know, I mean, I am working. I'm just having trouble getting a routine going every day. I'm kind of just caught up in, like, this new reality of having, you know, being in love and having my own place, and everything's just been a change. So I've been using that excuse as to why I'm not actually getting work. But it's been 5 months, and I think the excuse is over.
You've passed the five. It's like the 5 second rule for food. If it falls on the floor and you pick it up within 5 seconds, you can still eat it. It's the 5 month rule for excuses to not do your art. It's like if you're using the same excuse for 5 months, now it's time to do art.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah. Okay.
So tell
me this, Donna. What is it that if everything was working the way that you would like it to work or think it should work, how long would you be spending in the studio every day?
At least 6 hours.
Oh, really? Long? Quite a long time then.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm into it, I get really into it, and I do 12 hours a day. I mean, I'm kind of like either I work. You know, when I have a deadline, I work nonstop. I, you know, don't eat well. I don't sleep well, but I put, you know, 200% into the work. And once it's over, I'm kind of on vacation. So I think I've been working with deadlines a lot. Like, that's been helpful, but
I was going to say, because now it sounds like what you're looking for is a routine that isn't deadline driven.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay. Because when you have a deadline, that creates its own routine.
Yeah, and that's what I've been going through, but my schedule is a little, it's slowing down, so I don't have that many deadlines right now, so I'm kind of...
So here's what I know. I work with a lot of artists, a lot of writers, a lot of creative types, and this is a very common thing. This isn't a Donna issue, specifically. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, anyone who really is actually left to manage their own time. We're not used to the responsibility. I mean, we didn't have it in school. If we have jobs, somebody else is telling us what to do when. And so suddenly, we sort of tend to assume that when left to our own devices, we should do it the same way, except we have to be the teacher, we have to be the manager telling us what to do. Now, I want to first off just open up the possibility for you that that's not so. That just because the way that society has structured work time, right? You're going to come in at 6 every day, and you're going to finish at 9, or you're going to come in at 9, and you're going to finish at 5, and you're going to break for an hour for lunch, doesn't mean that that's the best way or the way that suits us or even a particularly useful way of managing time. That's just the way that, you know, we've done it since school and that companies work, and for the last couple hundred years, that's been the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, people sort of tended to do it around daylight. You know, there wasn't much point in doing much before it was light, and there wasn't much point in trying to do stuff after it was dark. So that created the time structure. But we live
don't get out of the house by 3, it's nighttime here. So, I mean, that was in the winter. It's getting a little later, but that was really depressing, you know.
So when do you love to do your art? What's like if your schedule was completely yours, what time of day would be your favorite day to do it?
Well, for the past, 7 years, I've been starting to work at like 10 at night.
Right. Well, that's a slightly different answer to my question.
Yeah. Okay.
When would you love, what would be like your ideal art time?
I guess.
Like if you could be equally creative 24/7, which 6 hours or however many hours you wind up doing, would you choose?
I guess I would choose the morning.
Okay.
So I can.
And
have
what time
sunlight.
What time would the morning start?
Around 11.
Okay. That's the artist's morning. I completely accept that. You know, business person's morning starts at 5, artist's morning, 11:30. What would have to happen? I'm not saying this is what to do. What would have to happen in order for you to be in the studio by 11 each morning?
I would just have to go there and do it. Wake up at, I guess, 10 and, commute over there.
Okay. So here's where it gets interesting. If I was going to pay you $1 million to get up at 10 and get to the studio by 11 each morning, do you think you could do it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now we can get to the real question, which is, do you want to? Because you know you can do that. And you even have a sense that that's probably going to work pretty well for you. So
yeah.
if, and this is a question for yourself. So, will you start doing that? Maybe as an experiment, I wouldn't commit to it for life. I'd say, let me try that schedule for a week, 2 weeks, see how it works. Would you be willing to just do that for the next week? And then if that didn't work, call back in next week and say, well, that didn't work. What else can we do?
Yeah, I will. It's just, there's things that, if I don't sleep, throughout the night and I go to sleep at 8 in the morning, then it's
then you'll be really tired when you go in at 11.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying is you probably got all sorts of stories in your head about why you can't or shouldn't. And I'm saying that if there was $1 million on the line, those stories would be just like, yeah. So if I haven't slept, then I go in tired. If I'm sick, then I go in sick. If my boyfriend's mad at me, then I go in with an angry boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, and it's okay if the answer is no, but the question is, will you for the next week, and if you don't work on the weekends, then don't count the weekends, go in and be in your studio by 11 each morning?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Then I really encourage you to, at the end of that week, if that's working for you, obviously keep going. And if you've gone, that's been the worst week of my life, phone back and let's talk about it.
Okay.
All right.
Can I ask you one more question?
You can.
Okay. I wanted to ask about, I don't know how you deal with this. When you're having good things that are happening and you get this voice in your head where you shouldn't be telling anybody about it, or you're kind of shy because you feel like you're bragging, putting stuff like on the internet or on like Facebook or just telling people what's happening with your life.
Like, nah, I've got a boyfriend and you don't, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, just, like, I have an exhibition in here, this is going on, and I feel like with the internet, everything is so exposed that, my tendency has been to not say anything, but in a way, it's kind of leaves people in the dark thinking I'm not doing anything, but, I have issues.
Well, okay, so, you know what, Donna, I can tell just from our chat that you spend a lot of time at the moment up in your head thinking.
Yeah.
And that, oddly enough, is not really a very pleasant place to be after a while. The outside world, the world that exists outside your head, much more fun. There's people out there and sunlight and things that you don't already know the answer to. And it's a much more exciting place to be. And so what I'll just suggest, and it's just a suggestion. You're obviously a very functional human being. So it's not like, oh my God, Donna, you got to do this or everything's going to fall apart. But maybe just kind of as an experiment, over the next week or two, just notice if you've gotten kind of all caught up in your head. And if you have, just do something to just get outside. You know, either outside physically or outside of your head, engage with something. It even doesn't matter what. You know, do some push-ups. draw a picture on a napkin. You know, call a friend. Just notice what happens if just for a week or two you kind of decide that, you know what, maybe being in my head isn't the best place for me to hang out. Because what I can tell you, you'll find out, being in your head is like sitting. This is one of my favorite metaphors for our own wisdom. Is our wisdom and well-being, they're like a little flute playing constantly in the background. But when we're up inside our heads, it's like there's a brass band playing. And it's like, oh my God, and I should do this. Now, why am I not doing this? And actually, things are going good. But are they going good? And should I do this? What do I tell people? Should I tell them this? Should I do that? And because that brass band is playing all the time, we can't hear the flute.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you give some time for the brass band to quiet down, maybe go on a parade somewhere so that your head is a little emptier and it's a little quieter up there. It's a little less busy up in your mind. Then you can start to hear the flute again. Because the answers to all those kinds of questions you're asking me, well, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? The flute knows.
Mm-hmm.
Your inner wisdom knows exactly what to do. And it's not that it's not talking to you. It's that it's so noisy that right now you can't hear it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've been trying to meditate, and I've had, you know, going to an Ayurvedic doctor, and he's been prescribing me meditation, and it's been a little difficult to actually do it and have the routine. So,
right. So let me make a really important distinction for you between the act of meditation and the state of meditation. Meditating is an activity. Yeah. If you've got a busy mind, it becomes one more thing that you've got to try and fit in. And it becomes one more thing for your mind to kind of go off on and go, God, I should be meditating. I'm not meditating. I don't have time to meditate. I've got too much to do. Ah, hey, you've got 2 hours there. Why don't you meditate? Oh, I'm not sure I want to meditate. Maybe I should paint. It just gets caught up in the same cycle. The state of meditation is something that actually, if you notice, you drop into throughout the day. You just drop into a quiet mind from time to time. Maybe it's while you're walking. Maybe it's on a drive. Maybe it's sipping a coffee. But there will be time, maybe if you've got a cat, it's when you pet your cat, but there'll be times throughout the day where you naturally sort of just slip into a quieter mind. And what I found to be one of the most powerful practices for myself and for anyone who struggles with meditation is just indulge those times a little bit. So if you find that you've kind of gone a bit quiet on a walk, just maybe stay out a little bit longer and enjoy it. If you find that you've gotten yourself sort of distracted from your busy life and you're just kind of, you know, having a moment somewhere, indulge the moment. And what you'll find is you actually can spend quite a bit of time in meditation without necessarily always finding time to sit down and meditate.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thanks, I'll look forward to, please do keep us posted.
I will. Thanks, Michael.
All right,
bye-bye.
Donna. Bye. Let's go to Tom in L.A. Tom, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm shifting gears in my life. I'm an artist and teach as well, and I'm looking to kind of form a nonprofit. So it's kind of a whole new skill set that I'm looking at trying to learn and do. So listening to the last call, it's like that brass band is just playing like mad right now and kind of trying to find a way to get organized in a way that I never have been. So that's where I'm at.
One of the things that's really helpful, the British, I love, you know, we Americans go on vacation, but the British don't go on vacation. They take a holiday.
Right.
And I kind of think that there's something great in that. Cause you know, when I think of vacation, I think of vacating. You know, it's like, I'm just going away. I'm just going to be vacuous and vacant. But a holiday,
right, which actually doesn't sound too bad right about now.
well, and it's better than nothing. It is absolutely right. Better than nothing, because it's ooh, at least it'll be quiet, you know. But that's about going more unconscious. A holiday, that the origin of it is a holy day. It's a sacred time to renew and recharge and reconnect to your deeper self.
That's powerful.
And to plan a holiday, you know, just find a time, and it can be 5 minutes where you're going to set it aside for just nurturing your spirit and just doing whatever you know to do to reconnect to that deeper self. And you can spend your holiday reading from a book. you know, that has meaning for you, looking at pictures of the people and things that you love. You can just spend it like contemplating the mysteries, you know, like, holy cow, I have fingers. That's so cool. You know, I actually sometimes call it being functionally stoned because, you know, you're not on an altered substance, but you just kind of can drop into this really beautiful place that feels really amazing. And the thing is that time you spend away from the brass band and, you know, away from your virtual desk, it comes back to you multiplied in terms of your energy, in terms of your effectiveness, in terms of your creativity, in terms of your insight. Because the thing is, the answers to the kinds of deeper questions about, well, how can I do this and how can I do that? The questions that aren't just like lookable, upable on Google. You know, it's not just that you're missing a piece of information and, you know, how long does it take to start a nonprofit? Type that into Google and up comes 14 days. Great. These are questions that have deeper answers than that. And those answers are always going to come from your own wisdom, from that deeper wisdom, from your insight. And again, you can only hear that when you're not up in your head trying to figure it out with the brass band.
Yeah, brilliant.
So maybe just enjoy a few nice holidays and notice, like actually often happens on holiday, how you come back refreshed and renewed and ready to go.
Great. Thanks so much for the advice, Michael.
You're absolutely welcome, Tom. I'll talk to you soon. Let's go to Victoria in Toronto. Victoria, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've been listening faithfully to your show for quite some time now.
Okay, I'll try and say something different then, instead of just repiping the same old stuff again and again. What have you got? What's your question?
Okay, it's about my finances, actually, our finances with my husband. Mm-hmm. Some 3 years ago, he sold a business that he had and used that money to start a new business, and that went south, mm-hmm. and we lost most of the money from the selling of the first business into that. Mm-hmm. After that, we started another two businesses in the last 2 years, and they're sort of going okay, but it's a little bit seasonal, so it's not a very stable environment. He's also starting to branch out into something more stable, but that's still taking some time. So meanwhile, we're kind of looking at these, and it's so strange to try to be, I don't know, business savvy and know, okay, is this time to close? Is this time to keep going? How do you plan ahead without being overly optimistic or overly pessimistic about what is happening?
I think that's a really beautiful question. I want you to know, so we're coming up on a break, so I'm going to start, but can you stay with me over the break so we can pick it up again on the other side?
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, okay. So I will start now, but mm-hmm. Finding that sort of sweet spot between pessimism and optimism, one of the things that I'll often have my clients do is I'll have them create three budgets. And the first budget is look at what's your sort of minimum budget to get by, not to suffer, mm-hmm. but to sort of get by. You know, how much do you need to just do that? And then when they're creating what they're going to do with their time, you know that, okay, at the very least, whatever risks we take and whatever things we try, we need to make sure that we're going to get this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first number. Then the second number that they look for is, what would be great? You know, not amazing, not like lottery winning great, but just what would be, we'd like to do this and we'd like to do that and we'd like to do this. And that gives us another level of budget. And that becomes the second tier. That becomes, if I want to start experimenting with stuff about money, mm-hmm. it's like, well, boy, would this stuff get us to that level if it works? And it's okay if it doesn't, because we've got this backup plan that will make sure we get this bottom level. And then the third level is if everything just went amazing, this is what we'd like to do, and this is what it would cost. And you can begin to get that. And then what you've got is you've got your base covered, you've got your target to aim for, which would be like the next level of lifestyle and stuff and things that you want. And then you've also got that vision of what you'd ultimately like. I'm going to talk to you more about that after the break. We're going to be right back with Victoria after this.
300.
1, 2, 3, hit it.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're answering the question, are you a busyholic? And I did promise in the second half of the show that I would be giving you the Cosmo Quiz version of seeing how overly busy or not you may be. But we're gonna get to that in a few minutes. We're also going to get to other callers. But for now, we're going to go back to Victoria in Toronto. So, Victoria, when I talk about that sort of three budgets.
Yes.
Where you know, what does that inspire in you? Does that make you think, oh, we could do that? Or do you kind of go, oh, that still doesn't really answer the question? Or what does that do for
you? It kind of goes to, okay, I think we have done budget number one, mm-hmm. and we looked at that, and it's looking that maybe we could make it to budget number one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not looking like for sure we're going to be able to do number one. It's more like, we're teetering there around, is it going to be a good season? It's not. We may not be able to make it to that.
So for most people, mm-hmm. there's a distinction that I believe Howard Ruff was the man's name who had the distinction about really rich or safely prosperous. And he made a distinction that people who want money, there are the kinds who just want to be like mega bucks, and there are the kinds who just want to, you know, always have enough. Safely yes. prosperous. And it's important to know which you are, because it's completely different strategies.
Yep.
If you want to be really rich, you really need to be prepared to be completely broke from time to time.
Okay,
because most people who are really rich have been bankrupt two or three times.
Okay, well, we're heading that way.
So that's not to say that you've got to do it, but it means that you're you recognize that path is a path of boom and bust.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you have to keep busting once you've boomed, but mm-hmm. you're taking big risks knowing that, hey, worst case, we have to start from scratch.
Yeah, I've been trying to be like the stable part of the equation, because I still have a job and I just mm-hmm. help around the businesses in, you know, on my free time.
So here's my preferred way, Victoria, mm-hmm. is why not create that foundation, that safely prosperous foundation. So in other words, make sure you can make ends meet. And then from there, instead of trying to make ends meet a little better,
mm-hmm.
once you've got that base cushion in place, in other words, okay, we know we're going to be able to eat. We know we've got our home. We know we've got the basics. Then from there, by all means, try stuff. You know, go out on a limb. You know, that's where the fruit is, they always
yeah.
say.
What happened if we already went out on the limb without making that safe place now first?
Well, then
now we're
really
we were really busy and got ourselves in trouble.
Right. So now would be a great time to slow down,
mm-hmm.
to look at it, and instead of scrambling like, you know, do you know that thing in the cartoons where the characters suddenly realize they've gone out past the end of the cliff, and they look down, and their feet start running really fast as they fall?
Yes.
You don't do that. Like once you get that you're falling,
yeah.
you know, enjoy the trip, maybe look for a safe place to land so that you can get up and dust yourself off and try again. You know, mm. if you're past that point, you know, there's nothing heroic about, you know, driving yourselves insane, just trying to get back to zero.
Yep.
You know, you didn't do it on purpose. You didn't, you know, you didn't
yeah,
no, think, I know
like,
what we'll
we've
do.
Been, yeah, we've been kind of, you know, budgeting for this season and hoping it's going to be, you know, and it's looking nice. You know, the weather has been nice and stuff is happening. And then one of these franchises just opened standard their shop near ours to sell the same product we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on. How is this like just plain bad luck or...
Do you know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Is it's real life and it's learning.
Yeah.
And what you'll know
like
the next, and what you're
learning myself.
I don't like real life though. But I get it. I totally get it. What you'll find is that the next time you start a business, you will sort of take into account a little bit more. Do we have enough buffer so that if something unexpected happens, that gives us 6 months or 3 months or 9 months to make a shift? You know, and that's something you learn as you go. And you know, for now, let me sort of sum this one up, just as best I can, given our time frame.
Yes.
Which is, for now, be kind to yourselves, slow things down, and get clear with each other whether the goal is just to get through this, and then you'll re-examine everything and decide what you want to do. Whether it would be fun to sprint like crazy for 6 months and see if you can pull something off, knowing that if you don't, you'll just have to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or whether it's time to just walk away from this one and start again. And if you take a little bit of time away, I know that probably sounds nuts, but if you can take even a few hours away, where you go off and you go somewhere that's nothing to do with the business, you'll know what's right for you to do next. And whichever one you do, then you can have fun with it.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
It does make a lot of sense.
All right, Victoria. Thank you very much for phoning in.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, this is true for all of us. You know, life's a contact sport. It's not completely predictable what's going to happen. Yes, you can do certain things to shift the odds in your favor. Yes, you can absolutely do some advanced planning. You can do downside planning. You can build in buffers and reserves. And sometimes stuff's just going to catch you by surprise. And the problem isn't that happens. The problem is if you are so up in your head about it that you don't actually hear the way out. And the good news is that wisdom that will let you know what to do next and will let you know what to do and what's right for you, it's always there. If you can't hear it, it's not because it's not there. It's not because you need to learn a new technique. It's just because your mind is probably so busy trying to work everything out that it just can't hear it. So whatever you know to do that sort of quiets your mind. I mean, heck, for me, one of the things I'll do is I'll throw on ESPN. I'll just throw on sports talk radio and 10 minutes of that sort of just quiets that voice in my head enough that I can start to feel my well-being again. And I can start to hear my wisdom and start to know what to do. Let's go to Maria in New York. Maria, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
It's so funny. My best friend, actually, a girl, Donna, just called you, and I can't believe it. I got on to
it. Y'all have fun.
We actually have a duo together, and we've been living apart. I'm in New York, and she's in Germany. And we both seem to have the same problem, but I think for me it's been a bit different. I had my own business here in New York for about 3 years with my now ex-boyfriend, that was doing really well. And as soon as it started to tank, well, not really tank, but as soon as the business started to kind of dismantle itself, my artistic career started to really take off. And at the time, I kind of just allowed it to dismantle, and I focused my energy on what was happening with my sound work. And, because I'm a sound artist and I also have this vintage clothing business. And I went on this huge tour in the fall and it was very successful. And I won a fellowship and it was just a very successful fall season. And then the winter hit and everything just stopped and dead in its tracks. And I know that to other people and on paper, my work, you know, looks really great. But when you're living it every day, it's actually not, because, you know, there isn't a lot of money and blah, blah, blah. And so now I'm like looking back at the business, trying to pick up the pieces after, you know, 6 months of just focusing on myself. And I feel like in a way, I was just flown to LA to perform for a festival. And they put me up in this beautiful hotel, and I had a day off, and all I did was just sit in my hotel and cry, and I felt like such a spoiled brat because I have all of these really great gifts being handed to me, and I definitely try to be present within the moment, but my pain body has just been very, very active, and I'm just not really sure why I'm acting so spoiled and how to manage, like, how, you know, how to balance when one thing completely falls apart while another thing is, you know, totally going full speed ahead. And
this may surprise you, but I actually think I know the answer to the question.
Oh my God.
And what it is at some level beginning to become aware that your well-being really, 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 really isn't going to come from anything that you do, anything that you get, anything that you have. Because it seems it's easy for people in some ways when they're not doing what they really want to do to attribute their lack of well-being to, well, I'm just not doing what I really want to do. And if I was doing what I really want to do, then it would be okay. Or if I was, well, yeah, of course I'm not happy. I mean, I don't have a man. Of course I'm not happy. I'm not successful. Of course I'm not happy. I don't have $1 million yet. Of course I'm not happy. But then it turns into a fantasy. And we sort of go, well, it's okay. I don't have to look for the real source of happiness or well-being, because I know at some level, you know, that once I get my career right, once I get the right amount of money, once I get the right partner, then I'll be happy. But in fact, when you start to actually get what you want, when you start to actually make the money, you start to actually get the level of success, you start to actually, you know, find the experience of a wonderful relationship, and you're still not feeling that deeper happiness or contentment or well-being, at that point, you've got a choice in a way for the first time. Do I look for even better work and even more success and an even better partner? Or do I stop it and turn and look inside myself to see where the source of that really comes from? And it sounds to me like that's the place where you're at. You tell me. Does that make sense? Does that resonate?
Yeah, in a way it does. I mean, because of all of this, I ended my relationship with my boyfriend of 7 years. And now that, you know, it's been about 8 months, I really regret it, because at the time I thought that things were just going so well. I kind of said to myself, like, I was just blind with ambition and just wasn't really focusing on or wasn't really paying attention to what I already had, thinking that I could get more. And now I really regret it, you know, because he's actually a really brilliant person. And
the thing is for a long time, and this is something I go through as a cycle with my clients very often, the same kind of pattern emerges. You know, people, when I ask people, how's it going? They answer according to how things are going on the outside. So it's like if career's going well, relationship's going well, money's going well, they go, oh, it's been a great week. And if career's you had a setback, money's not coming in, you know, relationship's on the rocks, or there isn't a relationship, oh, it's been a really bad week. And at some point, people start to get that what actually makes for a great week is a week where you feel great, where you're in a great state of mind most of the time. And what makes for a bad week is a week where you're kind of miserable most of the time. And you can be, as you found, absolutely having a rotten week in the midst of great career success and life success. And you can be having a great week in the midst of what looks to everyone else like hell.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to flag for you, Maria, you can do whatever you want from here, but you are in a real opening right now. There is a real space around you where, if you want, you can begin to turn your attention to your own state of mind, your own well-being, and your career won't fall apart. It might change a bit. It might evolve. But when you put your attention on, well, hang on, you know, what's really going on in here? You know, where does my well-being come from? What are these moods about? Why am I feeling this way? and not as a problem to be solved, but as a mystery to explore, you'll find your experience of life gets so much deeper, and it becomes, life gets less serious, but it becomes more meaningful. You're able to kind of feel much more lighthearted about things, but you're also able to go deeper with them. And that's available to you right now in the midst of what's going on for you, if you want to take it. Or you could stay busy and throw yourself back into your work, or throw yourself into analysis, or throw yourself into a relationship and try and solve it that way. But my experience is you'll be calling me again in 9 months.
So your advice is just to focus on the space around me. I guess that's a lot harder to do once you actually do have an exercise.
Well, here's the funny thing, Maria. I mean, do you have a copy of Supercoach, the book?
I don't know.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do. We're doing a big, it launches in the U.S. next week, but if you stay on the line and give Joe your details, we'll get you a copy sent out this week. And read the chapter called You Were Born Happy. Because there's something in there that if you can hear it, and I'm not saying that like, oh, if you can hear it, but if you hear it, it's going to make sense of an awful lot of this for you.
Mm.
Would you read it if we sent it to you?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, then I'm gonna let you kind of go in that contemplative state, and feel free anytime if you know once you've read it to phone back and we'll talk about it.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Maria. Okay. Do you know it's funny, but it is in a funny way. It seems to be easier to let go of the illusion that something outside of us is going to give us ultimate fulfillment, happiness, and peace when we either have it, so it's like, well, I've got it, is that all there is? Or when we get that we're never going to get it. And somehow when it feels like we're still in the hunt, it's a lot harder for people to let go of it and look inside and go, maybe it's not out there. But if you are at that point where you feel like, oh boy, I've just realized I'm never going to get where I want to go, or I am where I thought I wanted to go, and maybe take a pause before you go launching off after the next big dream, because you may be amazed at how much peace there is in that pause before you get yourself all busy again. I'm going to take one more quick call, and then I want to share this little busy holism quiz with you. So let's go to Jamel in Brooklyn. Jamel, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. I was calling because I saw the title of the show, and it said Busy Holic. And I think for me, the only question or tip I needed, which is, I'll make it brief, is that I sort of suffered from agoraphobia, anxiety, and I did that for a lot of years. And at the end of 2009, I decided that I wanted to sort of get back out there and do things. And my problem is now I think I'm doing too much, or I'm trying to do too much. I'm getting frustrated. Like, I want to learn another language. I want to go back to school. And I'm doing these things so fast, and like I told the person, I don't feel content. And I guess for me, the tip would be is how to really stay focused on what's true and do one thing at a time. I mean, everybody tells me the same thing, but it's just not clicking. I want to do everything. I just want to get back everything that I feel like I didn't get. I didn't go to prom. I didn't do all this stuff. So I just want to.
What occurs to me, Jamel, is I started working out with a trainer a couple months back, and I interviewed a bunch of trainers because I'm a little weird about how I work out and how I won't work out. And this one guy who I really liked and wound up, in fact, he's the guy that I work with. He said to me, I can get you into, you know, just amazing shape in 3 months. And I said to him, great, I'd like you to take 9. And he said, what? And he said, I'd like you to take 9. I'd like to take 9 months, not 3. And what it was is a recognition that I've had that I enjoy my life more when it's not quite so full. The guys who created, who discovered DNA, Francis Crick and James Watson. James Watson was asked about how it was that they finally solved the great mystery of the human genome. And he said, in order to accomplish anything truly worthwhile, it's necessary to be slightly underemployed. And when we fill up all the space in our lives with activity, with doing, with learning, with, you know, even if it's really cool activity, there's no space for the miracles. There's no space for the insights. There's no space for the little synchronicities and ahas. And there's really no space for peace. And sometimes it really is as simple as slowing down. Again, if you can, slowing down on the inside actually works. Ultimately, is where your peace comes from. But you know what? If you need to slow down on the outside first, in order to create the space to slow down on the inside, that's okay. That works too.
I agree with that. Just slowing down on the inside, because I think for me, it just comes from I didn't finish school, and all these insecurities are what I should do at this age. So I think that's where I have to start. And that's why I guess I was born again anyway with that idea.
Well, did I hear you right that you just said what I should do at this age?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the key to it right there, is you've got an idea in there somewhere that there's a certain place you're supposed to be at this stage of your life. And what I would say is, if you can let go of that, if you can let go of the idea that there is a somewhere that you are supposed to get to, somewhere you are supposed to be, because that's a made up idea. I'm not saying it was awful to be made up, but you got that idea from somewhere. And it's not true, because if you look at the lives of people who've lived happy, contented, successful lives, you'll find some of them did stuff early, some of them did it late. Some of them had families and then went on to create. Some of them created, went on to have families. Some of them created neat things while having families. There is no right answer to the question of where should I be by this age? And to the extent that you can let that go, you're going to find life gets real easy. Real quick, I've got to let you go, Jamal. I want to finish with this busyholic thing, but thank you for phoning in. Answer these questions for yourself on a scale from 1 to 5, where 5 is this is absolutely true, 1 is this is not true at all. I'm tired most of the time. I always seem to be in motion. Most of the people in my life, spouse, friends, family, don't appreciate all I have to do. I get very frustrated if I cannot finish a task or if I'm interrupted and I have to put it off until later. On Sunday or my day off, I have a list of things I must do before I can play or rest, and I rarely get to the play and rest part. I often feel isolated from those I love. By the time I do something I like, I'm too tired to really enjoy it. I feel guilty when I'm resting or just taking it easy. When I'm doing something, like watching a son or daughter play soccer, I often miss out on the fun because I'm too preoccupied with what needs to be done next. I use substances such as caffeine or sugar to prod myself into action during the day and turn to alcohol, marijuana, or other drugs, prescription or over-the-counter, to relax in the evening. I feel resentful because I'm not doing the things I really want to do. I feel that I have more responsibilities than most of my family or friends. I usually do things in a hurry, like gulp my food or throw on clothes. I forget to take care of myself, do not eat, drink water, or use the restroom for long periods of time. My friends and family tell me they're not seeing enough of me, or when I'm with them, they tell me I seem withdrawn or emotionally removed. Now, I don't really have any Cosmo quiz score totals you can compare yourself with, but suffice it to say, if you identify with those descriptions, you're going to benefit by letting your mind slow down. And what lets you know if you're just busy or if you're a busyholic is whether you are listening to all that and going, yeah, but I have to because you really don't have to. You really are allowed to rest. You really are allowed to take time for yourself. You really are allowed to take a minute in the middle of the day to just breathe. You really are allowed to enjoy your life. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. We're going to be back with a brand new show next week. Also, look out next week for the launch of Supercoach. And you can find some very special offers for that coming next week at supercoachbook.com. But until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.